Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I am daughter of Yisrael Ebal, Yisrael Reni, and I would like to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. Can everyone take their seats for Sabbath services?
Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Yisrael Ebal Leah Barnes. I'd like to introduce the sons and daughters of Yisrael Ebal now entering the sanctuary. I'd like to introduce the girls' choir.
His eyes and heart are at his holy convocation. Sabbaths and feast days where we learn to obey and walk in his ways. All eyes are on Yahweh's great house. Many will say, come, let's go up to Abel Way. They'll learn from Abel the priest who teaches peace. They'll be warned no more. Read Isaiah 2:1-4. We're coming up to Abel Way. Welcome home through the donkey's gate. Hurry, work, we're ready to serve. With smiles on our face, we run a race. Yahweh established his house. How wonderful is this place? Yahweh shows in prophecy, gematria, and so much more. Yahweh's family tag, 1074. Yahshua said, seek it first. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, the gate to the kingdom of Yahweh. We are the donkey's colt, tethered to the chosen branch. Yahshua and Israel built this house on the rock, Yahweh unity. We rejoice to be part of Yahweh's family. We're coming up to Abel Way. Welcome home through the donkey's gate. Hurry, work, we're ready to serve. With smiles on our face, we run a race. Yahweh established his house. How wonderful is this place? This is our home. Home, home.
And at this time, if everyone will remain standing, we'll now turn the services over to the great queens of the house of Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. We're going to start today with Revelation 10:7. But in the days, Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. And there's references of Amosha 3, 6, and 7, 1 Corinthians 15:51, and Revelation 10:11. I would suggest that you study out those scriptures so you can have a better understanding of this scripture, Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak. Now, the first thing that I did was, one of the things that I've been doing with these numbers is I was asked to do the gematria, and a person had said something to me, and it came to my mind, numbered by Yahweh. So I put numbered by Yahweh into the gematria, and if you notice, the number that came up for the English gematria is 1074. Does everybody know what 1074 stands for? I can't hear you. Can you say it again, please? That's one of Pastor's plate numbers on his cars. Now, 1074, we've heard lots and lots about 1074, and I do know that the great Kohans are going to continue to bring more out on that. But what I also found out about 1074 is it's from the Hebrew, it's from 1069, and it means firstborn, new fruit, and a denomination of 1061, which means first fruits. And do we remember what was brought on about the first fruits? Who are the first fruits in these last days? The house of Yahweh. So 1074, from the Greek derivative of 1085, means generation. Which generation? Specifically, this generation in the last days. The last days of the voice of the seventh Malak, when he will begin to sound, in the days of the voice of the seventh Malak. Now, also within my studies, I have also been blessed with being able to study out the calendar. Now, two of the sources for any of these dates, any of these numbers that we are giving to you, the first one is the 2017 calendar. The 2017 calendar has the prophecies that have been fulfilled by the house of Yahweh. The second one is the nuclear baby book. In the back of the nuclear baby book, which is chapter 5, the last three pages of that book, you have the timeline of not only the house of Yahweh, but the timeline of Pastor. Now, one of the prophecies that I had studied out was the measure the temple. Now, everybody knows how important measure the temple is because we've seen it in the news. We've seen that Trump has actually recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and he has actually moved the embassy, the U.S. embassy, to the capital of Israel, and that is a major point in the peace plan that is in process right now. But measure the temple, it was, the overseer completed this prophecy in 1989. So when I looked up the number 1989 in the Strong's, it comes from, does anybody remember what number 1989 comes from? 1909. And as we've been studying out these numbers of 1909, all of the dates that are of relevance to the house of Yahweh, Pastor's birth, Pastor's time he came to Abilene, the time he quit the police force. As you can see, the dates are on the screen. All of these dates are under that 1909. And 1909 in the Strong's Concordance. Now, this is from the red letter edition. It's not in the Strongest Strong's. They took this out of the Strongest Strong's. But it is in the red letter edition. And it's a primitive preposition, and it means superimposition. Remember the peaceful solution to building the temple, the third temple? What was shown inside when they showed those plans, the architectural plans, the aerial plans of the Temple Mount? Does anybody remember what was shown? What was shown was, Pastor actually showed that the third temple can be built on the Temple Mount and not cause any harm to the Dome of the Rock that is sitting there. And he superimposed the floor plan of the third temple on the Temple Mount. 1909 means superimposition. Now, you also notice on these dates that the dates of the Strong's Concordance and the dates of the Vine's Expository Dictionary, those dates are before Pastor was born. So Pastor has absolutely no way of making these numbers fit what he brings out. He does not do a number on the numbers. These numbers were created by Yahweh, and they are part of Yahweh's plan. Now, there's another number numbered by Yahweh. Does anybody remember Pastor's lot numbers, the numbers that the overseer was given by Yahweh in his dream? Does everybody remember those? Okay, the first one is? The second one is? Third one is? 74. Now, 74, 1074. 74, 1074 has two of Pastor's lot numbers. You drop the 0, you have 17. And you drop the 4, you have 17. You drop the 10, and you have 74. Two of his lot numbers are in that number for his license plate. Now, there's a very, very important thing about the number 17, and this is from Number in Scripture. Now, Number in Scripture's first publication in the United States was in 1967. Does anybody remember what occurred in 1967? That's when Pastor came to Abilene. Okay, this is another fulfillment. This is another recognition of Yahweh saying, yes, he is the one sent. Now, 17 in Numbers in Scripture stands out very prominently as a significant number. It is not a multiple of any other number, therefore it has no factors. Hence, it is called one of the prime or individual numbers of our numbering system. Now, it goes on. It says it is the seventh in the list of the prime numbers. And the series ones run 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17, so on, so on, and so on. Now, the significance of 17 is this. 17 being the seventh of the series, it partakes and intensifies of the significance of the number 7. It is a combination or sum of two perfect numbers, 7 and 10. Okay, 7 is Yahweh's number. 10 is the Ten Commandments. And we brought this out before. So you add the two, 7 and 10, and you come up with 17, which is Israel's lot number. The one sent, which is the overseer of the house of Yahweh, one sent by Yahweh in these last days, in this generation, during the time of everything that is going on, the one sent cannot be divided from Yahweh's laws. Numbered by Yahweh. He is definitely numbered by Yahweh. And anybody who believes into the one sent, as the one sent by Yahweh, is also included in that number, 1074. So remember, numbered by Yahweh, 1074, the one sent is definitely been proven to be chosen by Yahweh. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Welcome home, great saints. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So we're going to continue speaking about the great overseer. And Yisrael, so I'm just going to title this, Yisrael, My Chosen, I Surnamed. And you see, Yisrael is the only man on the face of the earth who is teaching that Yahweh is not a god and that Yahweh is in full control. Praise Yahweh. From the rising of the sun to the place of its setting to all the worlds, overseers proclaiming there is no other source of power, no god with Yahweh. And Yisrael Hawkins is chosen, the choicest branch, whom Yahweh is working with. So there's 3-4 scriptures that I would like to cover. And these scriptures are the only source of knowledge that testifies of Yijil Hawkins. We can put our full trust in the scriptures. So for my first scripture, if you want to write down Isaiah chapter 44, verse 1. Isaiah 45, verse 4. 44, verse 8. And 45, verse 4. So Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Yijil, whom I have chosen. Isaiah 45, verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Yijil, my chosen, and I call you by your name, Jacob, and I surname you, Yijil, though you did not recognize that it was me. And then going back to Isaiah 44, verse 8. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and have declared, you are my witnesses. Is there a source of power except me? Truly, there is no other rock, stone. I know not one. And the last one, 45, verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, Yijil, my chosen, I call you by your name, Jacob, and I surname you, Yijil, though you did not recognize that it was me. And verse 5, I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God. I will strengthen you with this knowledge, though you did not recognize that it was me. And we've been taught by the one sent to trust and believe all that the prophets have spoken. For they have told us beforehand, so that when it came to pass, that we might believe, right? As you can see, Yahweh clearly shows that he surnames Yijil. So I'm going to focus on the surnaming of Yijil Hawkins right now. So the surname, one of the definitions, is a change of name given imposed by a superior due to a change of status. Surname is not a birth name, it's a change. It's a name change. Now, subscribe means to write, record, and prescribe. Prescribe means for or to. So meaning Yijil will write, I belong to Yahweh, and change his name to Yijil. Okay, so let's travel back in time. Now, back in 1980s, when the dedication of the work of Yahweh was done on the 12th Roman month on the second day, around that time, Overseer had told his brother Jacob that he wanted to change his name to Yijil. Then a few months went by, and around the spring of 1982, that's when Overseer, it was really on his mind, and it was interfering with his work that he really needed to change his name. So in the spring of 1982, that's when Overseer was on the phone with the attorney discussing the plans that was for him to change his name the following day. Now, at that very moment when they were discussing these plans, a woman comes in and she says, oh, wait, this is the correct spelling of the name Yijil, Y-I-S-R-A-Y-L. Now, since he was already on the phone, he went ahead and told his attorney the correct spelling. So, therefore, they had to change that date to the following week. And it landed on 3/15/1982. And you'll see that we already know that Yahweh completely inspired this whole name change. Because how coincidental that he was on the phone at that exact time and a woman comes in, tells him the correct spelling, and then they had to change the name. They had to change the date to change the name. So the name change of Yijil the judge was granted the name change of Yijil legally, fulfilling the prophecy that was led by Yahweh's hand, and Overseer didn't recognize it. Now, this is exciting. So Overseer's been talking about who's coming in the name of Yahweh, and so has the rest of the great Kohanas. And in the Gematria, we have who is coming in the name of Yahweh. And get this, it's 3:15. Yijil, my chosen, I surnamed, S-U-R-A-N-A-M-E-D. 3:15, which is outstanding. And whom Yahweh chose is 1074, which is the the license plate on overseer's car. Yahweh is completely amazing. I'm shaking right now. How did he do this? Like, because the name had to, the date had to be changed at that exact moment when he was on the phone. How amazing is that? And it landed on 315. And then in the gematria, it shows Yisrael, my chosen, I surnamed, 315. How exciting. Okay. Oh, one last thing. Blessed are those who hear the sounding of the trumpet. And with this, great saints, I hope that you greatly rejoice in the surnaming of Yisrael Hawkins. And if you would all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. And welcome home. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. The title is, Blessed is Issachar, who comes in the name of Yahweh. The title is, Blessed is Issachar, who comes in the name of Yahweh. So you all are looking at me sort of funny. Let me check my notes. Oh, blessed is Issachar, who comes in the name of Yahweh. Well, I was reading in the first book of Israel. It's called Making the Connection with Yahweh. And I asked the question, who has made connection to Yahweh? And as you can see on the gematria, there's a 3022, which is pastor's lot number. Remember to, or his car tag. Remember to take out that zero when we don't need it. And so then I asked, since the overseer has been the one who has made connection with Yahweh, how did he make connection? So let's look at the next gematria, and you'll see that Israel is at one with Yahweh, 322, the same tag number. So you're probably wondering why. Why was my title, Blessed is Issachar, who comes in the name of Yahweh? In this first book of Israel, on chapter 13, on page 97, the title is The Prophecy of Issachar and the Sheepfold and How They Relate to Eob. But today, we will see how the prophecy of Issachar relates to Israel Abel Hawkins. I want you to zakar. Now, in Hebrew, zakar means remember. So I want you to zakar. As I bring to remembrance the study on who comes in the name of Yahweh, in that presentation, the number 271 came up. And in the Greek, it was the word amethyst, which meant reddish purple. The amethyst stone also is a representation of unity. So once again, I ask, how has Pastor Israel Hawkins made connection with Yahweh? Going back, he's made connection with Yahweh because he's at one. He's in perfect unity with Yahweh. Issachar is the tribe that is represented by the amethyst stone in the high priest's breastplate. So on page 99, let's read a little out of the first book of Israel. Now he was the third son of Issachar, talking about Eob, or Yashub was the third son of Issachar. Now there's a prophecy of Issachar, and this is what I want you to see. This prophecy means he will bring reward. He will bring forth reward. There is not a whole bunch, but there is enough written about Issachar to know why that Yahweh chose this man and that he was a very valiant man, loyal to the cause. He knew what he was doing. He knew this was the plan of Yahweh and that he was a small part of it. He fulfilled his part, risking his life to do so. He was one of the ones chosen to bless all Israel at its final stance. Final stance. Remember that. He was one chosen to bless all Israel at the final stance. He was a teacher, he was a priest, and he blessed the people and brought forth with reward to those who would follow his teachings. So you see right here, it wasn't a forced thing. It wasn't something they had to do. But those who were willing, had the mind to come into unity, he was bringing forth that reward to them. Now it says here, the position of Issachar placed during the journey in Canaan was on the east of the tabernacle with his brother Yada. Now notice who he was with here, and Zebulun. Now, just as we see today that Satan and her system is running side by side with the house of Yahweh, we see here too that Issachar was standing between Yada, who is represented as the Catholic Church, and Zebulun. And let me tell you what the name Zebulun means. It means honor. It means habitation. It means the house to dwell in. The exalted house to dwell in. You will see that Issachar chose to go with Zebulun to stand at that habitation, the house of Yahweh. It says here, Jacob's prophecy says Issachar is a strong donkey. I know you have also heard me say that I thought the Hawkins family was like mules. The longer they went, the stronger they got. Issachar is a strong donkey lying between the sheepfold. And also the sheepfold is the house of Yahweh, which makes perfect, which Issachar bent his shoulders to and said, I'm going to do it. It also means the end, to complete, to prepare, to accomplish, to fully fulfill, to bring to pass. Holy, reap, that is the harvest, as Yeshua talked about. Reaping the harvest of Yahweh's saints. And it also means to make clean and to purify. Now, in order to do that, to get across something like a river or something, you have to step on stones to get across without getting wet. So to get to Yeshua, who is the stepping stone that we need to step on and lean on and become in unity with? Let's see through Gematria, the stepping stone. It's 1074. Now, Zakar. What does Zakar mean? Remember, Zakar. Who is this amethyst stone? We saw this in that last presentation, that the overseer, 322, is the amethyst stone. He's in perfect unity with Yahweh. If we choose to come in unity with the overseer, then we will be one with Yahweh also. Now the name Issachar is number 3485 in the Strong's. It means he will bring a reward. It means to lift up. Now who did the overseer just say that we're lifting up? Yeshua. We in the house of Yahweh are lifting up Yeshua. And it also means to utter words and to lift up. Let's look at the whole license plate of the overseer. UTT322. It means to utter words. Isn't that not amazing? It means to utter words, the elected, the chosen. And in the theological word book of the Old Testament, it's number 2264, to engage in service of a person for pay. And then it says, it's interesting to note that Yahweh never hires his servants, but they work for him freely out of love and thanksgiving, and he rewards them for their faithfulness. Now let's see who Issachar really is in the Gematria. You see those numbers, 282, 468, and 78. When you add those all together, you get 828, the birth date of the overseer. And then it also, I put in, whom is Issachar in the last days? And you see, it's 322. The question is, will you align yourself, will I align myself in unity with Israel Abel Hawkins, so that we can receive the reward of the greatest work ever under the beholding of our High Priest Yeshua Messiah. Let us stand and say together, after I count to three, let's all stand, please. Now count to three. I want you to say this very vigorously if you're in unity with the overseer. One, two, three. Blessed is Israel Hawkins, comes in the name of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. May Yahweh be glorified.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Welcome home, great saints of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The title of my speech is Israel Hawkins and the Lamplight. Why was it important for Pastor to have been taught by the Lamplight when he was growing up? I want you to think about that. Why was it important for Pastor to be taught by the Lamplight when he was growing up? I put in Lamplight sessions in the Gematria. Lamplight sessions. And in the English, it was 217, and the Jewish was 719. Now, I want you to notice here that the 217 means a flame. A flame. Now, remember, Lamplight sessions, what was put in. A flame. That's what it Strong's number 217 is a flame, a region of light. And that brought to attention right away 2 Timothy 1:6. Remember where it says, fan the flame of the gift of Yahweh that's within you? And we do that by studying. Remember, this is the Lamplight, studying by the flame. Who was the first Lamplight session given by? In the beginning was darkness, and Yahweh said, let there be light. Right? Let there be light. And if you think about this, if you think about the great light that Yahweh created, this light is represented by what? His laws. So you can see that Yahweh gave that first Lamplight session when he created the laws, and that's what he educated his people by with every great teacher that he set forth in every time period. He has taught them the great light, the great Lamplight at his awesome house. That word 719, remember 719 there, when Lamplight sessions, in the Hebrew it means a refuge for the roving. Now how many of you were roaming around in this world and came here to the great house of light to seek refuge? Show of hands. Praise Yahweh. That brought to light Psalm 27. I want to start there in Psalm 27. And it says, Yahweh is our light. You can say, Yahweh is our lamplight. Yahweh is our light. You are our salvation. Yahweh is the strength of our life. That strength, you should have that underlined in your book of Yahweh, and you should have Romans 1:16 and Malachi 4 there, right? In whom shall we fear? Shall we be afraid? Shall we be afraid here under with Yahweh's house of light at his lamplight? No. Verse 4, it says, one thing we desired of Yahweh, that we will seek after all the days of our life, that we may dwell in the house of Yahweh to see your beauty and inquire of you. We inquire at the one who teaches us this great Lamplight session. And who's our great Lamplight teacher in this time period? Israel Hawkins! And when he teaches us Yahweh's laws, he's actually fanning that flame that's within us, right? It is so awesome to be here at the house of Yahweh, is it not? To come out of this world, to have a great teacher who teaches us by the Lamplight, who gives us Yahweh's laws, who lights that light. Verse 5 says, in the time of trouble, you'll hide us in your pavilion, in your house, in the secret place. You will hide us. So you can see that number 217 and 719, when you go to Psalm 27, it talks about not only the light, but it talks about the protection and the great refuge here. Right? So I want to jump over really quick, to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. I want to read verse 4. Psalm 19 and verse 4. Their witness, our witness, goes throughout all the earth, and their story to the end of the world. In them, he has set up a house for the light, our lamplight, right here, right? He has set up a house for the light. That word light, remember Strong's 217, it comes from Strong's 215, which means luminous, glorious, to give or to show light. What place gives or shows light in this time period? And it's the only place in a dark, dark world, just like in the beginning when there was darkness and Yahweh said, let there be. His house is set up for the light in this time period. He's chosen a man. He allowed this man to be raised by the lamp light, getting these great lamplight lessons as a great way for him to be trained. And he's also training us by the lamplight, right? So sisters, I'm telling you, get your seatbelts buckled like the great Kaham always says. I want to end with Yahweh's plan. Remember, in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and in that plan was, it was the light to mankind. Everything revolves around this great light. Everything revolves around this great man that Yahweh trained at the lamplight at a very, very tender age. Parents, use the example that was given by our overseer. We could have children growing up that can be as wise as our great overseer if we'll sit at the lamp and we'll teach them just the way Yahweh guided our great overseer to be taught in this time period to be ready to teach us, right? Praise Yahweh. I'd like everyone to please stand. As I prepare to turn the podium over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Brothers and sisters, at this time we'll turn the services over to the great doctor of music, the great deacon Michael Asaph Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Welcome home and to all our family throughout the world. Don't be discouraged. You'll be here soon with us. We're going to jump right into it. Turn over to page 680. Page 680, and this is Daniel chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and start reading, starting in verse 23. And in the last days of their kingdom, when the transgressors will have reached their fullness, the king of fierce expression and understanding, dark sentences, skilled in trickery and deception, will stand up. And his power will be mighty, but not through his own power. And he will destroy astoundingly, and he will succeed and practice and will destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now, pay attention to this next scripture, verse 25, 825. And through his policy, he will cause craft, deceit, and fraud to succeed in his hand. And he will magnify himself in his heart. Now, pay attention to this next line. And by peace will destroy many. Now, why would by peace would he destroy many? There's been peace treaties that have been brought forth that had a certain level of peace. They didn't know the way to peace because they don't have Yahweh's laws and they don't have Yahweh and they don't have the last day's witness, Yisroel Hawkins, like us, and a high priest, Yahshua Messiah. But Israel and Jordan, for example, they have a certain level of peace. But why by peace will they destroy many? Okay, well, this, I got a couple of article quotes from some articles. This one, top one, was from The Guardian. Trump and Netanyahu think it's a good idea to withhold millions of dollars in humanitarian aid and force people to the negotiating table. And then these next two are from the Jewish Voice for Peace. Despite the anticipation surrounding Trump's proposals for resolving one of the world's most intractable conflicts, a more crucial plan for the region is already being implemented on the ground, an attempt to strengthen Israel's hand while weakening that of the Palestinians through force. And this final line, Trump has repeatedly said that measures are intended to force the Palestinian leaders. Now, we see them doing that to try and force Russia, to try and force China, to try and force Syria. Through force, they're trying to obtain peace, but they will never have peace without Yahweh's laws. And it will only bring destruction because people are going to fight back against it. So let's get right into the codes. I had a lot of different code searches done for this feast, but this one came up 2 days ago, and it was important to bring it. And this search is called Peace Through Force. Okay, let me get my fancy pointer out here. Okay. So the main on this was peace through force, and of course it was right here. And that came up one time. It was only in there once, peace through force. Okay, and of course, 666 crossed it. Oh, and one thing for your notes, remember the teachings that Pastor brought out about Anathoth, okay, the school of the tyrants. Remember that, okay? Okay, so we have 666 right here crossing peace through force. And this one's very important. Number three over here, this is the year 2019 to the year 2020, right here. And then we have peace agreement. We have peace agreement. And over to the left of that is Oslo. Then we had some other interesting ones come up. Up here, we had people of Israel, and that's the nation Israel. People of Israel. And then we had right here, Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, not the true Jerusalem, which is here at Abel, but Jerusalem, the city in that part of the Middle East. And then it starts getting real interesting. Trump has been calling this peace plan the deal of the century. And of course, that came up. Deal of the century. Okay? But his deal of the century is not a true peace plan. It's not according to Yahweh's ways. It's not according to the way Yisrael Hawkins would be teaching peace through the laws of Yahweh and the peaceful solution. It's peace through force. And of course, following that was forced peace, which we see in the news constantly. They're trying to force them to come to the negotiating table. So we have forced peace. Then we have oppression. And we see that taking place through their sanctions, through their trying to get their way the way they want it, through the desire for taking others' resources such as oil. They're forcing peace and oppressing the people. And the ones who are suffering the most are the Palestinian people, the people of Syria, and the people of Yemen. But there's oppression throughout the world through this tyrannical system of forced peace, which we're seeing. And of course, from the oppression, we see mourning taking place. This forced peace will only bring annihilation. It will only bring annihilation. And then from the annihilation will come the destruction. Destruction crosses peace agreement, forced peace, destruction. And the last thing that came up that really amazed me and the great overseer was sons of Anathoth, which is what the leaders of this world are. They're from the schools of the tyrannical teachings, from the schools of forced peace, peace through strength, which will only lead to destruction. So the time is at hand, brethren. We need to be very mindful. We need to follow all the instructions given. We need to do everything we're commanded to do through the house of Yahweh, through our great overseer, the priests and the priestesses, the supervisors, the counselors. Be very careful to follow every instruction given, because it's not going to be much longer. We have the waiver for the embassy that's coming up, and I'll let the great overseer speak more on that. And we have destruction's going to come, but we will be protected. Those of us that are worshiping Yahweh in spirit and in truth, following the one sent and doing everything we're instructed to do and doing all we can to be servants to each other in the house of Yahweh, we will be protected. So do not be discouraged, brethren, throughout the world. You will be here. We all know where righteousness dwells. We all know where mercy and truth is, and that's here at the house of Yahweh. So everybody have a wonderful feast. Yahweh bless you all. If you'll all please stand. I have the honor and joy to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Welcome home. You may all be seated. All right, let's get right into this. If you could, we're just going to pick up where we left off last time. We're going to continue on this journey here. And we're going to call this part 7 of this series. And remember, the Passover, if you look at the title there about the sparing, that's what the word Passover means. It means sparing, okay? So if you're wondering, why do we keep using that? It's leading to something, okay? But the title is Part 7, Both Sides of the Coin. Both Sides of the Coin. I showed you that coin last time with the ram's head representing Aries or the sun god, Amun-Ra, Zeus, Jupiter, Satan, whatever you want to call her. Let's look at the first slide. And let's read a quote from the 16th book of Israel. Chapter 25, verse 23, it says, "So the plan was to make man in the image and likeness of Yahweh, started with two priests. You've got to teach, and you've got to teach both sides of the coin. That's what Yahweh allowed to be set up in what is called the Garden of Eden." And I showed you this garden. We are in a garden here in these last days. It's not just an allegory. This is a real thing. And you're going to see as we progress along, it's very, very real, okay? Now, he says it starts with two priests. Remember, Cain and Abel. So let's look at both sides of the coin. Let's look at this next slide. Here's the first side of the coin. You see this coin? The gematria of both sides of the coin, the first number in Jewish is 629. That's Yochanan 6:29, believe into the one sent. You see that coin with pastor's face? That's the side of the coin we want to be on, okay? And like one of the great speakers just said on the other side, that's amazing, is not? Is that not amazing that Yahweh can show this in this term? He's showing this coin. Now let's look at the other side of the coin, this other number, 1176. 1176 in Hebrew means Beelzebub. Well, who's Beelzebub? In Matthew 12:24, he says, "But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, 'This fellow casts out demons through Beelzebub, the prince of the demons.'" Well, remember, there's only one devil. There's not many devils, there's only one devil, but there's many demons. And the leader, the prince of these demons, the leader, as is seen in the footnote of Matthew 9:34, is Satan, Jupiter, Zeus, whatever you want to call her. Okay, it's all relative. But it's Satan, Mary, you can call her Mary. Okay, let's look at the next slide. Now, I want to remind you about this number 1674. The number of a man, 666, and remember, the number 1674 is like 666 multiplied. It's the number of the Nimrod system, but we're going to reveal a little more to you now. Because you know how Pastor has that picture of him pointing at his 1074 tag? Y'all remember that? Well, the Pope has one now, too. Let me show it to you. Can I have the next slide? And he's pointing at his Jeep Wrangler that he drove when he was in the USA with the Vatican in the background with his abominable obelisk there. And he's pointing at his tag, 1674, the tag of the serpent, the serpent's brood or a serpent's generation that Yahshua spoke about in Matthew 23. Remember that evil brood of vipers, that family of vipers, that generation of vipers. The word generation ain't just talking about a time period of years. It's talking about a family, a race, a tribe, a family, a group with the same character. Can I have my next slide? It's talking about a crooked, twisted generation, 1674, that have all made themselves in God's image, 1674, the image of the gods. Have my next slide. Now, let's do a little math. I know some of you complain I do math. I'm sorry. But you got to learn math. You know, Yahweh loves math. Yahweh uses numbers, okay, just like he uses words, okay? He speaks in the language of numbers. Now, notice, if y'all have noticed that 1674 sounds a lot like 1074, right? But it's worlds apart. It's as far apart as the east is from the west. But if you subtract 600, you'll get 1074. Gematria says 1674 minus 600, you get the number 3334. Well, that's speaking about the conception and the birth of the last day's witness, Yisro Hawkins, who was born and conceived in 33, born in 34. But it's also speaking about Matithya 24, 33, 34, where he shows in verse 33, in the same way, when you see all these things, know that it's coming and the end of the age is near at the very door. Truly I say to you, that generation, notice that word generation is 1074, okay? 1074, that generation will not pass until all these things are fulfilled. And there you see pastors pointing at his tag number 1074, our tag number 1074. Now, I got a way that we can become a 1074 and not be on the 1674. Because remember, we got to subtract 600, right? All right, let's see how we can do this. Next slide. We got to get rid of this. 600 means anger. It means angry, countenance, wrath, quick-tempered, nostrils flaring. You see that look that Pope Francis has given there? Now, we don't want to look like that on the Sabbath, do we? We don't want to look that at any time, okay? But that's called an angry countenance and a bad temper. You see that? Okay, look at it hard because we want to get rid of that, okay? That's what we want to subtract, the 600, right? Because if we'll do that, remember there's two sides of the coin, right? Let's look at the other side of the coin of 600. Can I have my next slide? If you subtract that, you'll be restored back to your original condition. Remember the two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the evil tree. If you subtract it, you'll be restored back to her original position or condition, reestablished, restored back to full freedom, the liberty. Remember on that coin, the coin, pastor, it says liberty, true liberty, the liberty of keeping Yahweh's laws. Restore back the full freedom, the liberty of the original standing, to enjoy again what was taken away by a destructive or life-dominating power. Well, in the house of Yahweh, we don't teach domination, okay? Domination is taught by the seven hills of Rome, domination and subjugation. And it means separation from the former negative influence to enjoy what is forward, meaning the restoration. We'll be restored to the original condition if we lose the 600 in the Hebrew, the anger. Now, let's look at the next slide. Here's what it starts with. Angry thoughts and feelings. Angry thoughts and feelings, 1674. But not only that, 1318, which is Revelation 1318. The number of a man, the number of that man we just saw that looked really mad, his number is 666. And if heaven forbid any of us take on that condition, that's our number as well, our tag. Remember the tag he was pointing at? The serpent's tag. Let's look at the next slide. Leviticus 19:18 in Gematria is 1674. Leviticus 19:18 says, "Do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against one of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor, whether a brother or an enemy, as yourself. I am Yahweh." And remember all the great sermons given leading up to this feast by the great Kohans regarding revenge and holding grudges. We've got to get this out to become unleavened at this feast. Okay? Completely unleavened. And there's a lot of indication right now that we've only got a very short time to do it, and we need to hurry and do it. If we'll do it, we'll see these gifts poured out. If we'll do this, if we'll be diligent and zealous to get it done. Now, notice, retaliation, seek for revenge, 1674. Have eye for an eye mentality, 1674. Return an evil for an evil, 1674. Remember, we should not do this. It's not the character of Yahweh to be doing this. It's not in a 1074 character. Can I have the next slide? Bear grudges and unforgiving, 1674. And bearing hatred for sisters and hatred for your brothers, both 1674. We've got to get this out of us, brothers and sisters, or we're going to have that Monsanto tag at the bottom there, the crossbones and the skull. We'll hear more about that later, too. Let's look at the next slide. Let's associate it with some other skulls and bones here. You notice in the 365 prohibitions in your book of Yahweh, number 322, do not kindle a fire, anger, or wrath on the Sabbath. Prohibitive laws of Yahweh, number 322, 1674, stirring up anger on a Sabbath, 1674. There's a lot behind that, and we'll go forward right now, but we'll revisit this. But I also want you to remember Revelation 11:3, but we're going to look at two sides of this coin here on this number. On this number here about stirring up anger on the Sabbath. Can I have my next slide? That number 1103 that you saw, it means to gather figs in the Hebrew. And if you remember Matthew 7:16, Yahshua was talking about two trees. And he says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or gather figs from thistles?" Like, do men gather grapes and figs from that evil tree? You think Yahshua is going to choose from that evil tree when he makes his choice? Or is he going to choose one of us if we have that 1674 tag? Oh, no. Look at those sticky branches there, man. Woo. I've got a couple of those in my foot before. They hurt pretty bad. Okay, let's look at the other side of the 1103. There's two sides to the coin. Notice 1103 means genuine, true, legitimate. It goes to the word genealogy in 1078, which means the course of life. The course of life. And notice, it traces right to 1074. Pastor's tag, your tag. Isn't that not amazing? Wow, that's what will occur if we don't stir up anger on the Sabbath or any day. Remember, we're only practicing on the Sabbath. But we need to make every day a continual feast, as the proverb says. Every day should be, keeping these laws and keeping them, ridding ourselves of these kinds of behaviors and attitudes. Let's look at the next slide. Acts 7:51 says, "You stiff-necked, stubborn, and that condition in heart and ears. You do always resist Spirit Holy." This is Stephen's address to the seven hills there, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. "Just as your fathers did," or "just as your generation did, so do you also." Notice the stiff-necked and the stubborn, 1674. That condition in heart and ears, 1674, and 1140, which means demons. Resist words of Yahweh, 1674, hatred for Holy Spirit, 1674, or hatred for the words of Yahweh, the words of life, 1674. Remember, 666. Now let's look at the next slide. We've been talking about, I'm still not off this, we're still talking about this changing of the name of the loop. And I haven't brought this part, but listen closely. This article came out on February 11th. It was put out on 2/11 of this year. Why did they put it out on that date? Because it was on the 90th anniversary of something. On the 90th anniversary, 1674. Can I have my next slide? The 90th anniversary of the Vatican. The Vatican being established. Remember, the Vatican was established in 4004 BY. Okay? Don't let them fool you. It was reestablished, or, you know, they were given some temple. Their power was given back by the Treaty of Lateran Treaty on February 11th, 1929, it says, or 2/11. The Lateran Treaty is signed, 1674. So it was the 90th anniversary. Well, why did they do it on 2/11? Besides that, what's 2/11? Why is that a big deal? Can I have my next slide? And remember, lightning struck the Vatican on 2/11 when Pope Francis announced his resignation so he could step over for the next one on 2/11. Now, I want you to know something. You would look at that and think that was a sign of doom. That's not how they look at it. I don't have time today, but they looked at that as a sign from Mary that she approved of their work. Remember, Zeus is the god of lightning, and that's an approval sign for them. Okay, so don't look at it. They look at things differently. Can I have my next slide? Why 2/11? Well, notice, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, they have their celebration of the Marian Feast of the Lourdes from 2/11 to July 16th, or 7/16. Okay? Now, notice Our Lady of Lourdes, 2/11. Marian devotion, you know, on page 205, Pastor taught us this, that Marian devotion is called hyperdulia. Notice, Marian devotion and hyperdulia, 1674. This is all about Mary. Remember, they're exalting Mary. They're exalting Zeus, Jupiter, through what they're doing here. What else occurred on July 16th? Can I have my next slide? First atomic test detonation there in New Mexico. New Mexico, 666. Right? July 16th. Also, the war on Jupiter, where 21 comets hit between July 16th and the 22nd. And, you know, when you go from Vatican City being founded in 1929 to 1945, you have 16 years. From 1945 to this year, you get 74 years. So there's your 1674. I wonder what that could mean. Let's go to the next slide. This loop, loop 322, was designated on July 16th or 7/16, 1957. Okay, 7/16 again. Can I have my next slide? You add 2/11 that you've been hearing about in the 7/16, and notice what number you get. You get 927, Daniel 927. Daniel 927, 1674 in Gematria. Let's read what it says. And he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Notice, a 7-year peace agreement, 1674. And in the midst of the week, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Instead, he will cause the prevalence of Mary, Jupiter, Zeus. Notice, they worship the Queen of Heaven, 1674. This is who they're worshiping in this process. And the reason they chose 10/13 to sign that agreement, or the 13th of each of September, 9/13 and 10/13, is because those are feast dates of Mary. Those are Marian feast days. Everything is to exalt Jupiter, Zeus, Mary, whatever you want to call her, Satan. Can I have my next slide? Now, the nations at this time are angry. The nations are angry today, 1674. The anger and hatred has kindled a fire, 1674. Pastor wrote about this just recently in the 2/2019 newsletter. Now, my next slide, getting to the end here. In the 15th book, 3879, it says, teach it to your children, but teach it diligently, and teach them both sides of the coin here. Choose this right way because the other way leads to a great burning that's going to take place, and those people are not going to be left. Yahweh says in Malachi, they're going to burn themselves up. The wicked are going to do this to themselves, the evil ones that are following the evil tree, the Catholic Church, which is the whole world right now. Now notice, next slide. We'll get into this deeper as we go along. God save the Blessed Virgin. Notre Dame, or Our Lady, the Blessed Mother. That's what Notre Dame means, or Notre Dame, okay? And the final slide, Pastor's going to elaborate on this. Can I have my final slide? Remember in Psalm 147:4, Yahweh counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Jupiter has a number. It's 1054, and you're going to learn more about that. But at this time, would you all please stand? It's been an awesome privilege to stand before you this day. May Yahweh continue to bless your feast. And at this time, it is my great privilege and opportunity to turn it over to the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Don't start the clock yet. Please be seated. We got a lot to talk about. I'm going to put that one there just for room to sit. Get in your book of Yahweh. If you have a book of Yahweh, turn to page 3. We're going to look at Genesis 3:14. Just for the record, and anybody, we've had these complaints before about using different books, different passages in Strong's, different things like that. Yahweh does not write books like Peter Pan. What he does is, it's as the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 28, verse 10, it's here a little, there a little. There's not one book that we quote where everything is in one book. And there is not one, and the house of Yahweh knows that the book of Yahweh, had to get back, get this lined up again. The book of Yahweh is not written like Peter Pan, or any book where you start a story and it ends at the end of the book. There are things about Revelation that are in Genesis. There are things about Genesis that are in Revelation. There are codes, there are Atbash codes, Bible codes, you name it. But let's look at Genesis 3:14. But just remember, Isaiah 28, verse 10. It's here a little, there a little. In the scriptures, in the books, in the numbers, that's what Yahweh said. Look at Genesis 3:14, though. I'm going to read it how it is written in the King James Bible, or version of the Bible. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life, or thy life. Dust? Doesn't sound too appetizing to me, and I most certainly wouldn't waste a bottle of ketchup on it. A Hebrew and English Lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, pages 217 through 219, shows that the word Lord that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh, the name, the actual name of the maker of all things, the creator, our heavenly Father. This Hebrew lexicon also tells us that the name Yahweh has been known to be the Creator's name from the beginning, and that such renditions as Jehovah did not even appear anywhere until the year 1520 A.D., or as we know is A.Y., after Yahshua. The word God that is written in Genesis 3:14 is falsely translated from the Hebrew word Ayil. There's a lot about this word. It's Aleph, Yod, Lamed, or its plural form, Ayilohim. That's Aleph, Yod, Lamed, He, Yod, Mim. There's a lot about this, and we will in due time bring it out. For there is a big conspiracy behind all this, and it has been found out. This word is listed on pages 29 and 31 of a complete Hebrew and English critical and pronouncing dictionary by William L. Roy. who, by the way, is the man who taught James Strong, which shows this word means Yahweh, the eternal Father, the original, self-existent, unoriginated, independent, and eternal Yahweh, who is, who was, and who will always be. And then he says, all you have to do is look at this in Revelation 1, verse 8. But he is not God or gods. But even worse, a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, I apologize, and the Century Bible, Volume 1, pages 90 and 91 by Adonai and Bennett, testify that the name Yahweh that was originally written all throughout the Holy Scriptures, such as Psalms 42 through 86, being an excellent example, was deliberately edited out and replaced by the Canaanite word Elohim. Elohim, God, a word that means God or gods. This was done by changing the spelling and or pronunciation of the Hebrew word Elohim to the spelling of the Hebrew by a pronunciation of the Canaanite word Elohim, from which we get God or gods, by removing one letter Yod out of the word Elohim. Ayil, they took the Yod out of the Ayil syllable and made Elohim. There'll be more on this in due time, because the original word for God was El, but in originality it was Ayil. And even the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance words, 352, 410, and 430 will tell you this. Look it up for yourself. Look up the word God in the concordance, and then go to the Hebrew words that it tells you to go to. They remove one letter, Yod, out of the name Elohim, or the letter name Ayil, and it went from Yahweh to the gods. And it was done on purpose. There is no question about it. They can argue all they want, but it was done on purpose. Even the Talmud tells you they did this. In the Talmud, in the Tractate Pesachim, page 52b, they admit that they took key letters out of Hebrew words to make the Hebrew scriptures say what they wanted it to say, including the denial of Yahweh's name by trying to hide it, when the word originally said his name is forever. And there's another one here. They took out the name, the word, letter Yod out of the word Ayil, which means Yahweh, the Eternal Father, and they removed it and they put it so it could become Elohim, Yahweh the God, or God the Eternal Father. Either way, they ruined it. And they forgot that throughout the Psalms, Yahweh says he is not a God and that he is above any God or anything that is called a God. Remember that. Wherever you see the word Lord God in a Bible, it should have been translated Father Yahweh. Wherever you see the word God, like in Genesis 1:1, it should have been translated Father Yahweh. In the beginning, Father Yahweh created the heaven and the earth, not the Lord God. Not some god named Zeus, not some girl named Mary, or anything like that. Let's go on. The word bitterly cursed that is written in Genesis 3:14. We will have more about why the word God should have been translated Father Yahweh. But at least you have this information to start out with. But the word bitterly cursed that is written in Genesis 3:14, they are translated from the Hebrew word arur. This word is listed on page 48 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which shows this word means to bring on a curse. You do something wrong and there is a curse. It is cause and effect. Cause and effect are what happens. Evil happens. The word cattle that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word Bahama, from where we get the word behemoth. Usually they talk about a rhinoceros or a hippopotamus being a behemoth. I wonder how they feel about it. This word is listed on page 100 of volume 2 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Kleins, which shows this word means from a human being and unto beasts, that is, humans and beasts alike. In other words, something's going to occur to these things. The word beast that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word ha'it. This word is listed on page 438 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means living things. The word field that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word shadah. This word is listed on page 683 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of without points by John Parker, which shows this word means ground. The word upon that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word o. This word is listed on page 758 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Rich, which shows this word means to remove. The word belly that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word gachun. This word is listed on page 190 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this word means to cause a mother to bring forth. There'll be a little bit more about this during the feast. That little bit is a very big little bit. The words shall not eat that are written in Genesis 3:14 are translated from the Hebrew word takal. This word is listed on page 246 of volume 3 of the Dictionary of the Classical Hebrew by David Kleins, which shows this word means to destroy, so as to remove from the world. The word life that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word haik. This word is listed on page 204 of volume 1 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Kleins, which shows it means to live, to remain alive. So with these corrections in place, this is what Genesis 3:14 should have been written in the King James Bible. And Father Yahweh saith unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou hast brought a curse upon all, both man and beast, and on all that creepeth on the ground. Taken away will be thine ability to bring forth life from the dust of the ground, and thine life eternal shall be removed for what thou hast done. In the book of Yahweh, or in modern English, it goes, so Father Yahweh said to the serpent, because you have done this, you have brought a curse on all, both man and beast, and on all flesh on the ground. Your ability to bring forth life from the dust will be taken away, and your eternal life will be taken away because of what you have done. Now, this where you say, thine ability to bring forth life from the dust of the ground or your ability to bring forth life from the dust will be taken away. What that means is you lose your right or your authority to have a work that brings forth eternal life. Remember, in Yekeshkeh chapter 28, verses 1 and 9 through 19, and Isaiah 14, verses 11 through 20, Hillel, better known as Lucifer or Satan, at one time was the anointed cherub that covers. She was supposed to be teaching the light, and all she did is start teaching darkness. And so therefore, her way will never be authorized by Yahweh to bring forth life to anything or anyone. So that's what it's all about. And by the way, you heard a lot about light today. Remember this, Yahshua said over and over in his sermons that he gave in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, he said this one simple statement, you are the light to the world. That is the conclusion of the entire matter. And with that, remember, Satan lost her right to do the work of Yahweh. And she has no right ever given to her by the heavenly court to bring any type of work that brings life. Keep that in your minds and stay with it. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, please stand. And as soon as I can get out of the way, I shall turn the service over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Looking into the news, I want you to bring some things to memory and think about these things, a very foundational part of what Pastor's been bringing for years, and to realize the first and the greatest blessing that the city of Abilene has ever received is the house of Yahweh. Now, they don't know it yet, but that is truly the greatest thing they've ever received. And we show how the B-21 bombers, how they talk about that. And if you listen to them talk about receiving these bombers to the Air Force base, how great they are for the economy, how many jobs they'll bring, it's almost like there's a whole blind spot in their minds or their eye themselves where they don't see these things are created to generate a lot of death, a lot of destruction, a lot of harm. So there's nothing great ever comes from negative things. And you see that they're blind to these things. They haven't been educated. And that's why there's so much hatred for the one sent in this area, because he shows them the error of their ways, but it doesn't generate income. And that's what they're worried about, is generating income. And then remember Revelation 6:6 with hurt not the oil, and remember what's going on in Venezuela, because right now Russia has sent soldiers to Venezuela. Russia is in Venezuela with its soldiers, training Venezuelan soldiers that are part of the Maduro government. Now remember, the United States is trying to remove Maduro. Remember, don't forget, Maduro also appealed to the Catholic Church, saying, we need your support. And remember, the Catholic Church, or most specifically the Holy See, replied, you did not keep your agreements when we had meetings, therefore we cannot help you. Don't forget where this beast receives its authority from in Revelations chapter 13 and 11 through 12, saying, let us be like the first beast. Well, the U.S. is demanding Russia to leave Venezuela, and think about what's in Venezuela. Of course, it's oil. And we say we want to help the Venezuelan people. Well, if Honduras and El Salvador had oil, we'd be helping them too. But instead, we've tried to stop them at the border. So remember about this oil and this generation of oil, and let us hurt not the oil or our way of living. And in all of this going on the same way, where does Venezuela go for moral support and advice? Well, they sent their foreign minister to Syria. Damascus, Syria, is where he goes to talk to Syria to see how they've been dealing with the United States and the push and shove and the sanctions and so forth that we'll talk more about later in the feast, how all of these things are going on, because there's a lot of pressure being put on the people. And these sanctions, of course, are to pressure the people to remove their own leaders. And then looking over to Turkey, in and around the great river Euphrates, well, all of the things are still going on. We may not see it every day, but it's still continuing. Vice President Mike Pence, he warns Turkey and he tells them, you must choose between being a part of NATO or being a part of Russia. And this is due to Turkey taking in the S-400 missile system from Russia, and the United States also trying to work out a system to give them the F-35s, which are American-made. So as a result, Turkey said, we've already done this deal, we're not backing out. So the United States has canceled its F-35 deal with what is supposed to be a NATO ally who is teaming up with Russia instead. And then you have Russia meeting, specifically the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, meeting with the Arab League concerning the Middle East peace plan. Remember Jared Kushner and what he's doing, and as they've said many times, you have to get the Arab League behind it. That's the financiers. That's the money. That's what's going to take to generate this deal. Russia also being a part of this. Please don't forget and write down, remind yourselves about the quartet. It's given unto them in Revelation 6, 7, and 8. It's given unto them to actually hurt in that fourth part of the earth. Don't forget Russia. Don't forget the European Union. Don't forget the UN. And, of course, always remember the United States, who's saying, let us be like the first beast. All of this you're going to see today in the news playing hand in hand. And then we show something. It's very important that you remember. We show us. It's a show that's on RT called Sophie & Co. And this was first aired in the second Roman month of 2017, so 2 years ago, 10 years after the nuclear baby prophecy. And she clearly says that President Putin said 10 years ago this nuclear arms race was going to get worse. He actually acknowledges, Vladimir Putin acknowledges, this started with the nuclear baby. These things started downhill. All of these things, Pastor has told us, we can see them later on in the news. If you believe it without seeing, you don't look back and go, wow, he was right after all. After all, where did the prophets of old get their information to write these things? Remember that. It was sent to them by Amalek, from Amalek. And then Jared Kushner, once again, pushing the peace plan. Remember that seven-year agreement that was given, spoken of in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. And Pastor wrote about these things in The Mark of the Beast. You can find those, The Mark of the Beast, volume 1, on page 167 and 174. All of these things years in advance, and we're seeing them come to pass. Now, you've heard the United States say in the peace agreement they may not do a two-state solution. Well, we know they're going to. And the European Union also comes up and says, remember, a member of the quartet, that they will only support a two-state solution. Now, that's just being in agreement with prophecy. But pastor's showing all these things. Here's a man in Abilene, Texas, being able to tell what governments will do. Major governments, enormous ruling powers, kingdoms. But he's giving all of these things and laying it all out. So please take notice, because in the news today, you should see what pastor's been saying for many years to build a foundation to believe every word that comes forth from the mouth of Yahweh's spokesman. At this time, if we could please play the news. If everyone could please stand. Now, I want you to keep in mind, does everyone understand and see to where you have the quartet, which is Russia, the EU, the United Nations, and the United States? They're all vying to push forth this peace plan, the very peace plan that was signed in 1993. Does everyone see that? Please keep your eyes and ears open for these things, because these are the things that Yahweh's anointed witness brought that will start these last 3.5 years. And at this time, I pray that everyone, the thousands overseas and the thousands that are here, are ready to hear the words of the seventh Malak, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise God. This is such a burst of joy. Oh, I tell you, you're more beautiful today than you were last night. Praise God. Be seated. I heard that word M-A-Y several times this morning. It's going to be hard to get it out of your mouth. You don't need to ask me. Just take Yahweh's word for it. I'm talking about the goddess now. If you don't know what we're talking about, we'll get the information on the calendar. Everything is looking pretty great. I got this article here. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you, by the way. The peace of Yahweh. It says the strategy of control chaos. Well, that's what the world is facing right now, the strategy of control chaos. And everything points to that. I'll read this later this week, Yahweh willing, because I want to get into some other things for you. We were hoping to have up a bunch more stuff for you to read. And if you'd read everything on this house, it would help. But just go around reading everything in your spare time. If you came in, if you saw the signs when you were coming in, and welcome home, by the way. But if you saw the signs coming in, it said, get ready for a great learning experience. You don't realize yet how short you are, how far behind Adam you are. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. The learning experience, read everything. The maze, we didn't get that finished. We got it, but the company that's supposed to do the signs kind of fell short a little. And so we did. We won't have that up till Pentecost. The peaceful scene, oh boy, this is great. Don't miss that peaceful scene. This is enjoyable. Sheep cooked over open fire, fully smoked with the open fire, with mesquite wood. I'm not trying to make you hungry, but with that, they're going to serve bird dumplings. You're going to get a taste of oaky food there, where people actually lived off of the land, the wildlife too. The great highlight, you're going to have, of course, coleslaw, the sweet coleslaw made by the women. I like it too. you're going to have Burmese tea leaf tea salad. That's Burmese tea leaf tea salad from Burma. Now, if you've been watching the news, you will know where Burma is. If you haven't been watching the news, you probably won't. But let me show you a map here. Right here is Burma, but the one that you should recognize, this is Myanmar. Myanmar. It's Burma is official Union of Myanmar Republic. 1994 population was 47 million people. It's bordered on the north and northwest. Southeast Asia. It is bound on the west by Bangladesh, India, and the Bay of Bengal. On the north and northeast by China. By China, yeah. They're right there by. And on the east by Laos and Thailand. And on the south by Andaman Sea, the Andaman Sea. This tea, they speak 100 languages there, by the way, 100 different languages. And besides that, they speak English. this salad now, it's when I tasted it, I had to sample it. It's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it. But it's really great, and it will add to the peaceful scene. But remember all of that when you go to taste it. You're getting something from over there, from members that are actually here at the feast, keeping the feast. We don't have time for it anymore, but we used to have the people stand up from the different countries, and we had them from many, many different countries. Yahshua, I want you to turn to remember everything that was brought this morning. Everything that was brought this morning fits right in to this great subject of you, your subconscious mind that Yahweh has given you, and you're slowly putting things in it. It would absorb it much faster. I remember bringing this out years ago in the Mark of the Beast, I believe, in several sermons. But the greatest computers in the world, and they do have some great computers. Listen to what I'm going to say about this computer. The greatest computers that I wrote about at that time, they've improved since then, but they still wouldn't house 1/10,000th as much as your subconscious mind. Now, science knows this. They know that they can't use their subconscious mind. If they did right now, with their mentality, their ability, they would be building bombs and selling them to countries they don't want to own them. That's what they're doing. They don't want these countries to own these bombs, but they want to sell them to them to get the money from them or their oil. Trade them to them for their oil, which is black gold. Well, that's the chaos that we're seeing here. And the guy that wrote this, I read the article. I really appreciate the way he writes. Manlio Dinuka was the one that wrote this article, but I'll read it to you later on, maybe. But in the subconscious mind that Yahweh gave us, Yeshua had a little of it, just a wee bit. And he was able to guide fish and so forth, as we'll get into detail on. Adam had it, so did Eve, and so did Satan. All of them, Adam and Eve died, Satan is dying, and of course the scripture that I had David bring, you've got to remember the information on that. It fits in here too, and you won't understand it either, and you won't understand this subject unless you pay close attention and get this stuff that Yahweh showed in the very first chapter of the book of Yahweh. Now, if you remember, I told you that Yahweh gave Adam an impossible job. It wasn't impossible for a man who had his subconscious mind. But Yahweh created the animals, and he brought them to Adam to name. Now, this will probably show you, you know, you didn't think much about it, so it probably shows you how much you're liking right now and how far behind Adam when Adam was naming those animals, actually naming them, and what goes with these names and that when he gave him this job. Now, Adam, in actual fact, he named them, but it's like Yahweh said, in the last days I will establish my house. Then Yeshua said, in the last days I will establish my house. Now this is both the same house, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then Yahweh said, in the last days I will establish my house, and it will take this message to all the world. Well, all of that has come to pass. It's Yahweh's house, it's Yahshua's house, and it was established in these last days according to prophecy that Abel actually wrote about. Abel. Now, if you put all the twos and twos together, I should say four and four, the number fours coming up quite a bit, and we'll see it as it gathers. But watch for it in the gematrias, but also in the scriptures. But you would see that this book of Yahweh that we have here, it was written before the creation of mankind. But it was planned with Adam, who sat on top of the sea of glass, along with all of you here in the house of Yahweh today, sitting on the sea of glass. Now imagine this. You can imagine, if you'll just imagine, the lamp stand, the seven-lamp lampstand. It's a permanent fixture on the sea of glass, and it represents the seven works. Got that? Well, you're there. And Yahweh sees your every move. He knows what you look like. He knows everything about you. You're sitting right in front of him. He reads your face. He can read your palms. He reads everything about you. That's the reason you can't fool him. You won't be able to fudge and get into the kingdom. I pushed to bring forth the children. If you could see the faces when I say children, and they brighten up, and they say, and they know that I'm going to talk to them, and their eyes get big, and they're waiting for me to give them that spiritual food that they begged for last night. Well, that's the way you are. Yahweh saw you born. He knows who your parents are. He knows all of these things. It's all before him, along with the seven lampstand and all the things that he told Moshe to make and to use as reminders, like the tzitzits with the knots that remind you of the 613 laws. Don't forget that. You bind them around your hand. That's supposed to bind you to Yahweh. That binds you to Yahweh right there. Now, unless you're lying about it. If you're lying, Yahweh knows it because he's reading your face right now. And your eyes and your mind as you think. Remember, Yeshua knew what they were thinking. Well, Yahweh does too. And Yahweh's biggest attention right now is the family that he's forming. He loves you. He really does adore you, and he wants you to come through on this thing. Be his family, and I will make mankind in my image and in my likeness, and I will give him authority. Well, that authority, part of it was started off by naming the animals, as we'll get deeper into that. But Yeshua said in chapter 12 of Yochanan and verse 31, chapter 12 and verse 31, he says, "Now judgment is of this world." That is, it's given as Genesis 49, verse 10 and 11, it's given to Yada. Yada, you're told right there in that chapter, verse 1 says the last days. So it's given to them at that time and comes all the way down to the last days, and they still got it. It was in Yeshua's time. Why can't the world see this? They don't have that connection with Yahweh. No one can come to me unless the Spirit of the Father draw him. If you know what that Spirit is, you'd come through on this lamplight vigil with the children and get them to loving that law, the laws of Yahweh, and making that connection. Because you make it through the practice and the adoration that's in your heart for that law. And if you explain, if you get the opportunity and you harp on it a little each day, you'll explain to the children how important it is to come before Yahweh every seventh day, that he's going to be there waiting on you to connect with you at his house. He will humble you and get you to asking and obeying the words of Yahweh, the words of the priest, at his house. In the last days, I will establish my house. You've got to seek it. Yeshua says to seek it. Come to it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together at my house at the appointed times, new moons and Sabbath days. Well, now judgment is of this world. Now the one sent Now, the one sent to the world will be an outcast. An outcast. The one sent to the world, hated. He's going to be hated. He's going to be an outcast. He's, as it was testified to in court when they brought the false charges against the house of Yahweh, it was testified to in court. The woman said, I don't know why I hate Israel Hawkins, because they asked her. She said, I hate Israel Hawkins. They asked her, why do you hate Israel Hawkins? She said, I don't know why I hate Israel Hawkins. I just know I hate him. Well, that's in record. All of that's in record. It's on record that we're the most hated people on earth. We're the outcast, as Yahshua was. Yahshua was the outcast. He was speaking Yahweh's words, speaking Yahweh's laws. He was the only group on the face of the earth that was doing so. And he says here, he says, the Son of Man, the judgment is of this world now. It's given to the world. Genesis 49:10. Now the one sent by Yahweh, the one sent to this world by Yahweh, shown in prophecy, shown in prophecy. Well, you got to know the prophecies, know where to find them, which we show you. We don't cover anything in the book of Yahweh. We show you what the prophecy says. He names us. He tells where we are, how we come to be in that particular place. Everything about us, he gives the details of it. A lot more than I've had time to even bring out yet. One cent. Now the one sent to this world will be an outcast. And I, the outcast, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, that except men, I will draw all to me. Men, women, children, teenagers. I said to Mother and Daddy later on in the years, when I was a teenager, I said, I'm unfittable. I don't fit anywhere. And I was wanting to write a commentary on the Bible. When I talked to people, they kind of had that questionable mark in their eyes. I was 17 at the time. Don't let that discourage you. Yahweh knows your heart. All you teenagers, Yahweh can use you and is using you probably a lot more than you think. The teachers are getting a lot of learning from the teenagers here. They're getting a lot of learning from the children. The parents, if you just listen, you know, Yahweh said, he said to Adam, it's not satisfactory for you to be alone. Now, he didn't say to the Catholic Church, you need a man to be with you. He said, you need a woman. You need a woman. Well, what do you need a woman for? Believe it or not, to name animals. You can't do this on your own. The woman's going to add some input to this, a lot of input to it. You need a woman to do this job I'm about to assign you, giving you the job of naming the animals. We'll put that all together. I'm running out of time, but we'll put that all together. I want to say a few more things here. But mark out that word, man. It's not just man. Draw all to me, men, women, and child. Do you remember Yahshua? He wasn't without women. Nora was a beautiful spot in his life, and he showed it I intend to praise her throughout all eternity for what she did in bringing my Savior forward and seeing the joy that he saw in the woman, the Samaritan woman. He started a work to going and told his disciples, don't bother this work. It will do what I want it to do. She went out telling, I've found the Savior. That word spread, and just from mouth to mouth. And of course, they knew the scriptures. How do I know that? From what she said and the fact that where they're located, they were located next to the house of Yahweh at Abel in Galilee. Well, all of that, if you know the scriptures and I tell you, study. Don't just read. You can't just read the scriptures. You've got to study. You've got to try to remember where you've seen something else about this in other places. And as you practice this, what I'm telling you, then it starts getting easier as you do it for a few years. It starts getting easier. You may not know it, but it's coming into your subconscious mind. The more you get in the subconscious mind, the more it will feed back to you, and some of it even through the heart. And you'll start loving it more than anything. You'll start wanting it, start craving it, craving to get back to the scriptures. Well, anyway, Yeshua, he told this Samaritan woman, give me a drink of water. That started the conversation to going. It made me think of my mother when she always had an input and we'd be talking, just talking. We wouldn't sit down like we're going to have a Bible study and I'm going to teach you. We sat at the table and or stood back from it, depending on how cold it was and was wanting to warm and turn around and around, trying to get one side warm at a time. That was the houses I was raised in. No running water, no bathrooms. I can tell you when I went to college, we had a bathroom in the college. That was in the 50s. The towns that Jacob and I went out and preached to, we sent out flyers to the different churches and telling them we wanted to come there and hold services and got more than we could handle. But they had no bathrooms in their churches. They had no bathrooms in their homes. They didn't have running water in their homes. This was Missouri, Midwestern college. Well, they had it in the college, but they didn't have it in the houses. Well, that was just in the 50s now, the beginning of the 50s. All of this running water and electricity that's so bright and hateful sometimes, it came in my lifetime. It came to the houses. The schools that I went to did not have electricity. They didn't have running water. They had water in buckets, but you didn't want to drink. Nobody was raised to get a drink of water in school. You was raised to walk out to the outdoor John if you wanted to, but you didn't have running water in the schools, no electricity in the school. When the days of the gone with the wind, when the wind was bringing in these dust storms, terrible dust storms, driving people away from my mother's house, my dad's house, yes, it drove them away, drove them to California. That's where you're getting so many stupid things taking place in California. I don't have time to go into that right now, but Oklahoma was practically empty. The nearest neighbors was probably a mile or a mile and a half away from us. They were old people that couldn't go to Oklahoma. But there was none of these conveniences was available at that time. The knowledge had increased. The computer was invented or patented in 1934, which comes to us today. We're using it tremendously in the work of Yahweh. We're reaching the world with it. All of these was prophesied and come to us to use in my generation. For 6,000 years they were not here, but Yahweh prophesied by Daniel. Daniel looked at a man wearing linen who explained to him, who explained to Daniel from the book of Yahweh that there would be a 3.5-year period that was held back at this time. Well, lo and behold, what are we talking about now? Did you see the news today? Did you pay any attention to what it said? Every bit of that news today was about the 3.5 years that is about to go back into action. Prophesied by Daniel, told to Daniel by me, yes, on the Sea of Glass. And I wasn't even born yet. But Yahweh knew me before I was born, as he knew you before you were born. Every child here, Yahweh knew you before you were born. Everyone in this building, you wouldn't be here otherwise. And in front of you, and in front of Yahweh, was a book of Yahweh that man dressed in linen was using to teach Daniel in a vision. Who was alive on earth and also in heaven in a vision. Yes, in a vision before Yahweh, unborn at that time, yet Yahweh knew him. Now that's what we're dealing with Yahweh in mentality. Yahweh is he carries the most knowledge, the most wisdom to handle that knowledge. And he always will. You'll never catch up with him. I know I wouldn't want to. I want to be like him in righteousness. I want to take my part in his great kingdom, whatever he wants to give me. But I will always do the will of Yahweh. I won't do my own will. I don't even want a will of my own except the will to serve Yahweh and do what he has prophesied in this book for billions of years. Yes, it was written long before we wrote it, long before we brought it to light in 1987, this book of Yahweh. Before it was ever given to Moshe, but it was on the throne. Well, let me finish here right quick. The people, he said this, lift me up from the earth, and I will bring all to me. He said this indicating what kind of death he would die. He's going to be lifted up on a stake. That's the kind of death that he knew he was going to die. He had his hands like this, with a stake drove through, and he had them over his head. Now he could take his feet and push up because they sat on a thing that was fastened to that stake or a limb, so they could push themselves up and keep from choking. If they let themselves down, their shoulders would eventually come in against their neck, cut their wind off, their breath off. Some people would keep pushing themselves up, and they'd do this sometimes for days. Yeshua had to be dead because of high day. This day, in 33 AY, was the high day he was talking about. It falls on a different day every year. That high day Sabbath, that high day Sabbath shows you the Sabbath where they went and rested, and then they celebrated this great high day feast, and then they prepared spices and so forth, and they came back to anoint Yeshua, and he was already gone. He was raised the same time of day at evening, it was dawning towards the first day of the week, which was Sabbath afternoon, dawning towards the first day of the week that began not of a morning. Come on, you preachers, just read your Bible. From evening till evening is the Holy Sabbath. From evening till evening is Sunday. He was already gone. Sabbath afternoon, Sabbath evening, as it was the beginning to dawn towards the first day of the week that begun. And you're out there worshiping the goddess instead of coming here to worship Yahweh who created mankind. Out there chasing Easter eggs, what kind of lies can Satan give you to get you to do something like that? Telling your children lies when you could be coming here to Yahweh's appointed feast and Sabbath and teaching your children the truth. Well, Yeshua said, "Lift me up and I will draw people unto me. I will draw everyone," and he will. But he says, "You won't see my face until you say," or they say, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh." Okay, verse 33, he said this, indicating the way he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that Messiah remains forever. So why do you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Yeshua said to them, "Only a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, or darkness will come upon you." Now, when he says walk there, he means study. Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh. Much more is hidden in this verse right here that you need to study out. He who walks in darkness does not come where he is, does not know where he is going. He said to the Samaritan woman, "You don't even know who you worship." We're the ones that know who we worship. The ones from Galilee, those who lift up holy hands to Yahweh, pronounce those who teach the peaceful solution, pronounce Jerusalem or Yahweh Shalom. While you have light, trust in the light, that you may be the children of light. Yeshua spoke these things, then left and secluded himself from them. That was ended with verse 36. Turn over to Genesis now, 2. Genesis 2. Well, here Adam was created. Man was created. The heavens that involved the earth and so forth. And verse 18 says, he says to Adam, "It's not satisfactory that man should be alone. Out of the ground, Yahweh formed every beast of the field." See, put these two verses together, you'll see that woman has an input in man's work right here, as the woman had the input in Yeshua's work. Shaul was a tallit maker with a group of women making tallits. Many works that was performed, they were performed with the woman's input. Now we're going to get into naming these animals. So Yahweh created your Adam. You're Adam now. You have your wife with you, Eve. And Yahweh brings us to Adam, this cow. We call it cow. What's the Hebrew? Did you know that we wrote a book with that normal, with the normal Hebrew? We put it out in Israel. It was written in the original Hebrew without vowel points. We had all these books at the World's Fair in Israel. And they couldn't read it. And their scholars, they said, who wrote this book? This book is without vowel points. It's written in the original Hebrew. Who in the world could put this out today? No one here speaks that anymore. No one writes it anymore. It's changed that much. Well, of course, in the original Hebrew, we will find this. Now, Yahweh brought the cow to Adam. I'm just giving you something to think on to show you how far behind you are when it comes to the ability that Adam and Eve had and Abel, who they laid to work on. Abel is the one that wrote all this stuff down for mankind here on earth. It was already written in heaven. Get that in mind. Every word of it written in heaven. In Hebrew, for that time period and for Abraham's time period, in English for this time period, and this is the one that the Holy Scriptures actually shows that it would be a different language that this would go out to all the world. Stammering lips and another language, another tongue, that it would go out. Well, it's here. It was with Yahweh in English before it was here in English. All of these things, they didn't just happen. And Yahweh said to Adam, name this cow. Well, how would a woman have any input there? Well, that stinking thing, don't get her up here by the house. I'm preparing food up here. Well, that's one bit of a characteristic that had to go in that Hebrew name. Once it was completed, that was the name. Once it was completed by Abel and his team of workers, once it was completed by them, then it was accepted by Yahweh. That's part of the fruit that Abel offered to Yahweh. And it was the same that Yahweh had on the Sea of Glass in Hebrew at that time, also in English at that time, waiting for us to explain it in this time. Quite a plan, and takes a lot of maneuvering to bring this about over a 6,000-year period. Well, I hear that cow bawling out there for its calf. Eve said to Adam, bawling? Well, that's what we call it in English. She's out there bawling. And Adam looks out, and she's walking around in the pasture, eating green grass, giving white milk with yellow cream. It's made into, you'd make it into butter and cheese. All of those things had to go in that name, that Hebrew name. The Hebrew actually describes it. Not completely now. You know, we don't have Hebrew like they had Hebrew, but we have a form of Hebrew. I think if you look in the Hebrew, they'll say the root word is not available. That's what you get when you are trying to trace some of this stuff back. So when we were working trying to translate the book of Yahweh, when we are, we haven't even stopped. Once it started, it's never stopped. But we found out what Adam was going through with this little tinky job that Yahweh gave him, naming all the cattle, all the birds, all the animals. Everything had to be described about that in the Hebrew to classify that cow as a cow forever, and it was written down. You think you could do it? How far are you from Adam right now? Adam, we think the world wants to classify Adam as a Stone Age man, and Cain and Abel as the Stone Age, and they're out throwing rocks at each other, and you know, they were way above the scientists today. Now we have Adam, we have Eve, his wife, a helpmate to help in all of this work that he was assigned to do, that he gave Abel, who was assigned to do, who Abel wrote it down for us, what we need to get through this. Abel wrote it down, and Yahweh had it translated into English for us. And he gives us enough in English to know how far behind Abel we are now than the way he was when he was created. And how brilliant Abel was, and how brilliant Adam was and Eve was. And if you'll just ponder this tonight, try to figure out what you would call the turtle. Why you would call him a turtle. I'm giving you an English word. Now, I've been bringing this out for years, telling you this is a pretty great thing that was done here. I don't think too many look too deeply into it, but we're going to look deeply into it now because it's very important that we understand Yahweh's plan and how he's carrying this out and how you're a part of it. But, brethren, what I want you to understand is the greatness that you're going to be. This subconscious mind, yes, you could name all the cattle, everything is created, you'd know it, you would know it in detail, like every hair on its head is numbered. Like Yahweh can see your face and read your face and know what you're thinking about me and what I'm telling you at this time. Know whether you love me. You're not going to see Yahshua at all unless you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. Yahweh bless your understanding, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!